NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The coronavirus has transformed the economy in all kinds of ways. One of the big ways is buying stuff. Americans bought more stuff in 2020 than ever before. Big things like cars and TVs and computers, and some littler stuff. What's your Barbie's name?
Her name is Ballerina.
This is Yakira. She is four. Her dad, Michael Pickett, says Yakira's Barbie love has only grown over the past year, along with her collection of all things Barbie.
The Barbie car, the Barbie house, Barbie bicycle, Barbie workout. You have the pink Jeep. She has that as well. That comes with the cell phone, the coffee mug.
Last year was a big one for Barbie. Barbie was the top-selling toy property of 2020, leaving Legos, Paw Patrol, Hot Wheels, and even Star Wars and Baby Yoda in her dust. The thing is, just 5 years ago, Barbie was a brand in crisis. Sales were in free fall, and the busty blonde seemed to be on the brink. Today on the show, Barbie's big makeover. How Mattel went from bleak Barbie to peak Barbie. This is my mom.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, making investing in private real estate as easy as investing in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. See how 150,000 investors have built a better portfolio with Fundrise. Go to fundrise.com/indicator.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Wondery. Their newest series, Secret Sauce, explores the stories and successes behind some of the most inspiring businesses and intrepid entrepreneurs. First up is Airbnb. Listen to Secret Sauce wherever you listen to podcasts.
Back in 2015, things were not looking good for Barbie. Kelly Gilblum is an entertainment reporter at Bloomberg News, and she says part of the problem was that the doll hadn't really evolved since it was first launched in the late 1950s.
It was still a blonde doll that was kind of the white ideal of beauty, and that was becoming increasingly a problem for Mattel.
Between 2011 and 2015, Barbie sales dropped by a third. And for Mattel, says Kelly, this was a full-on crisis.
People say, you know, however Barbie goes, that's how Mattel goes.
And it looked like Barbie was in danger of going bust. Mattel's CEO ordered a big, sweeping consumer study about Barbie. And Kelly says the responses were not pretty.
Everybody thought Barbie was vapid and shallow. And I mean, I think they were partly shocked because Barbie has so many professions, where she's a doctor, and I think they really felt like that was enough to make little girls see it as aspirational. And none of the little girls did seem to think it was aspirational.
And then there was all the stuff about Barbie's body.
There were studies that were coming out that were saying if Barbie was expanded into human size, she wouldn't have enough room for a liver and she wouldn't be able to hold her head up.
Those things feel important, especially if you're going to be a doctor and have all these jobs. Mattel went into full crisis mode.
Barbie, she's too big to fail.
This is Lisa McKnight, global head of Barbie at Mattel. She came on board at Barbie's darkest hour. Lisa knew that Barbie needed an extreme makeover. So she and her team rolled up their sleeves and started examining all things Barbie. Giant-headed, vapid, and super white though she was, Barbie was a commercial force worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Any change was a risk to the iconic doll and to the entire company of Mattel. They had to get it right.
The stakes were high. And of course, we knew we needed diversity.
In 2015, Lisa and her team introduced a new line of Barbie fashionista dolls.
Which fashionista are you?
Barbie girl. Barbie fashionista.
Traditionally, the fashionista dolls had been almost all white with long straight hair. The new line of two dozen dolls had eight different skin tones and some curly hair options. But they were all still the lean, liverless Barbies of yore. And Lisa says that was the next thing they looked at.
We needed body diversity. really when we started to attack her body, if you will.
But attacking Barbie's body was complicated. It meant making changes to everything in the Barbieverse.
We had to make sure that our fashions fit every doll, that every doll could fit again back into the dream house, into, you know, our cars. So it was really complex.
In 2016, Mattel rolled out Curvy Barbie, Petite Barbie, and Tall Barbie. The new dolls were well-received, sales started to pick up, and Lisa says her team pushed further.
We have a Barbie in a wheelchair, Barbie with vitiligo. I mean, the fact that the team was able to capture that skin condition in a product, she's beautiful.
Lisa says there are around 175 Barbie dolls right now, and it's the most diverse doll line in the marketplace. Of course, looks were only part of the equation. A lot of the problems that consumers had with Barbie had to do with her personality.
She was viewed as too perfect, unrelatable. We started to break that down. We started to have her become vulnerable.
Mattel beefed up Barbie's YouTube channel, and an animated Barbie now does frequent video posts from her extremely pink bedroom.
This is for kids, so a lot of the content is entertaining. She might be doing DIY activities, teaching a new dance. But she also talks about having a bad day, feeling sad.
The YouTube channel was a hit. Kids and parents liked Barbie's curated real talk. And then the pandemic hit. Kids were suddenly home from school, and parents began desperately buying toys and games and videos to entertain them. Demand for all things Barbie went nuts, says Lisa.
So we started to advertise and market one of Barbie's iconic items, the Dream House. It's a $200, you know, suggested retail item. So it's a big gift, and it's usually a holiday gift. The Dream House took off, and I think we sold a Dream House a minute last year.
Mattel also doubled down on Barbie's vlog. Barbie and all of her friends went into quarantine. They talked about wearing masks, missing their friends, and even social issues.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everyone.
This is Barbie and her Black friend, Nikki, in one of the vlogs that went viral last year, talking about the Black Lives Matter movement and racism.
People might think that my life looks fine, but the truth is I and so many other Black people have to deal with racism all the time. It's really hurtful, and it can be scary and sad, and I wanted to share some stories about that today.
Mattel got lots of kudos for this video. It was held up as a model for how to start talking about issues of race with young children. By the end of last year, Barbie's vlog had 10 million subscribers, and Mattel had sold nearly $1.5 billion worth of all things Barbie. And the inclusive Barbies were leading the pack. One of the top-selling Barbies of 2020, a Barbie who came with a wheelchair. Another mega hit, a Maya Angelou Barbie, made in honor of Black History Month. Sold out almost immediately. Mattel's total makeover had worked. Kids loved the new inclusive Barbies, and so did parents. Michael Pickett, father of 4-year-old Barbie enthusiast Yakira, says he has noticed the changes that Barbie's been making, and he's been pretty impressed.
You know, traditionally growing up, we always thought Barbie was just a pretty blonde who didn't really do anything, you know, nothing constructive. And I had a boyfriend named Ken. That's all we really knew. And so as I began to see the program, Barbie definitely evolved into a role model. Even I've sat down like, okay, Barbie's different.
Mattel's new plan is to do to Barbie what Disney has done with Marvel superheroes, a kind of Barbie multiverse that will feature dozens of new shows and specials featuring Barbie and her little sister and her friends. And of course, Ken. He has been on his own journey of transformation. He has a bunch of new body types and skin tones. There is now even a Ken with a man bun.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Jamila Huxtable and fact-checked by Sam Tsai. The Indicator is edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.
I'm Yoe Shaw.
I'm Kia Miakonatis.
We're the hosts of the NPR podcast, Invisibilia.
You can think of Invisibilia kind of like a sonic blacklight.
When you switch us on, you will hear surprising and intimate stories.
Stories that help you notice things in your world that maybe you didn't see before.
Listen to the Invisibilia podcast from NPR.